Now I'm depressed.
Oh, that's so sad. I'm so lonely.
At least I have precious metals.
That's right. Heavy metals.
Exactly.
Poisoning you, and at least I've saved the Constitution. It's in my
secret vault.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right next to the statue. It's not even a statue. This head of a statue. I can't carry the whole statue, but I could get the head.
Well,
Somebody might pay me for the head.
Someone might. He's a really interesting dude in that, and I may have mentioned this when we were talking about the wind-up girl. He wrote like 3 novels. He took like he quit his job. His wife said, "Okay, you can quit your job and try your hand at being an author."
Noveling, yes.
But you have a year or something. And so he wrote this novel, and nobody wanted it. And he's like, "Okay, I'm going to write another one." So he wrote another one. Nobody bought it. He wrote a third one. Nobody bought it. And he said, "Okay, fine. I'll write some short stories." So he wrote a short story, and the first short story he wrote won like the Hugo Award or something like that. And then he kind of hit his stride, and now I assume I'm judging from the awards that he's won, he's having a very successful career.
Yeah, I think so. The funny thing is that Wind Up Girl winning the Hugo and the Nebula, I think, was good. But the impression I get is that Shipbreaker winning those nominated for one major national young adult award and winning another one, I get the sense that that was huge because that is such a big market and that people are like, yeah, you write the sci-fi novels, that's fine. And then all of a sudden, they're like, oh, what? You also write young adult sci-fi novels?
Sign me up.
So I think he's doing okay, which is good. I've liked everything that I read of his, and I was not expecting to, and everything I've read, I've said, nope, this is good. I liked it. So good for him.
Yeah, he's
an up-and-comer.
He deserves all the success that he's getting.
Yeah, I think so. He writes good stuff.
Yep.
He's not an overrated author. He knows what he's doing. He does a good job.
Yes.
In his little niche, which is eco-catastrophe.
Exactly. Well, you write what you know, apparently. So
yeah. Yeah, exactly. He has like a backed up sewer line or something in his house in Colorado. He's like, oh, eco-catastrophe. I'm going to write that down.
This
is what we get. All right, Scott. Well, this was great. It was nice to be back with a book club, too.
Yes, I like it. And once again, I continue my streak of reading all the books while other people fail.
Well, that's right. Well, you just don't come on the podcast where you haven't read the books. You weren't
that's
on the
true.
Hunger Games podcast.
That's the secret to my success, is I do not show up when I haven't read the book.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, don't show up if you haven't read the book. That's why Dan Morin's not on the show. He knows that.
Exactly.
You know, there was that one book club where Glenn was on, and he had never read anything, and he just sat there quietly the whole time. That's not true. That didn't really happen. But
we all know.
Almost.
He was breathing heavily, but
that's true. Exactly. Wow. All right. We've killed the chat room too. They're all very sleepy. Although Metaphor is in there asking about Son of Sun. So somebody's paying attention.
There you go. And I must
not
say,
everybody knows about the chat room. So
I didn't know about the chat room until I was listening to the Hunger Games podcast, and then it took me like 15 minutes to figure out how to get to the chat room.
It's complicated.
I think complicated.
I think Dan is putting the links back. Although my understanding is that Dan's toying with the idea of doing a subscription kind of support thing for 5x5 and having like a special subscriber chat room. But that's I don't know if he's going to do it or not. He's got lots of ideas. I don't know from listening. I think that's one of the ideas. But he's got a love hate relationship with the chat room and the jackals who are in the chat room, but. You know, I love having this instant feedback. It's actually kind of a lot of fun to have the live stream for the Incomparable. The big difference is that unlike the other shows that get posted the same day, you know, we recorded 2 this week, so that I've got one for this week, and I'm traveling next week. I'm in LA for the Wall Street Journal D conference, and so I don't have time to do a session next week. So like this episode's not going to air, it's not going to get posted until like June 2nd. So Andy Anatko today on his podcast on 5x5 was making reference to our Avengers episode, which I haven't even edited yet. It's going to go up on Saturday, maybe. And he's like, well, when I talked about that on The Incomparable, it's like, that's not up yet. Don't
ruin it.
I work in advance. I edit it myself. Again, it's an artisanal, handcrafted podcast.
That's right.
It takes time.
People don't understand.
Like, you know, you can't make cheese in a day. It takes time. That's all I'm saying.
I agree. I went to see the Avengers and I enjoyed it. I didn't listen to the live podcast, but I look forward to
suffice
hearing.
It to say that Andy Iannucci, I think Andy Iannucci was in a very bad frame of mind when he went to see it, and he tore it apart. And today in his podcast, he was saying how, you know, it's a special kind of state of mind when you're in a movie and you want to, you know, what you want, and you want to be entertained and all that. And, you know, I mentioned that on the podcast last week that, for whatever reason, you know, most of us were in a frame of mind where we enjoyed it and we were generous. And for some reason, Andy, I don't know if he had like a bad parking space or had a bad lunch or something like that, but he was not, he didn't go with it.
Oh,
dear. He resisted it. And, you know, that's, I mean, on rewatch, he might rewatch it and say, oh, it's not as bad as I thought. Or we might all rewatch it and be like, oh, you know, it worked in the moment, but now that I look at it again, it's not that great. I don't know. I personally, you know, I think that he just was in a bad frame of mind, and it for whatever reason, it didn't work for him. But it was an interesting podcast because he had his he like was like a sniper. He lied in wait while we all talked about what we liked about it, and then he kind of went and. Then he talked about what he hated about it. People in the chat room were saying, "Oh, somebody else is being John Siracusa."
So that is funny. I went into it just expecting my normal summer blockbuster rule of the story doesn't have to make sense, but if things blow up, I will have a good time.
Well, you know, Andy likened it to the Transformers, and I was like, no, the Transformers to me was lots of noise, but it didn't really make very much sense, and it wasn't very smart. And what I liked about the Avengers is it was noisy, and there was lots of action, but there was also some character development, some funny dialogue, and it's like, you know, and a feeling that this was a giant summer action movie written by a smart person with jokes that could be appreciated by smart people. And the Transformers felt to me like a stupid movie made by dumb people for dumb people.
Yeah.
And that for me, that was the difference. It's like the Avengers was still a loud summer action movie, but there was intelligence and love and understanding of the source material behind it in a way that some of these kind of soulless summer movies don't have it. So but it didn't work for Andy for whatever reason. He was really cut, you know, stuck on the things about the screenplay not making sense. And I feel like there were always setups for everything in the movie, and he just missed them. And maybe that's the movie's fault for him missing them. But I don't think he was in a place where he was going to be forgiving of that movie. So whatever, that happens.
Yeah, it's true.
That happens. You know, it's kind of when a movie is adored, like The Avengers even, which is like a 90% tomato meter rating or whatever, it's actually kind of interesting to hear the person who's the dissenter, because they've got something to say that maybe you haven't heard, even though he's completely wrong. It was good to hear it. So.
Excellent. Well, Metaphor, I still liked it.
Metaphor in the chat room says he likes Transformers. So, no, I you're not dumb, Metaphor. I'm just saying that it was made for dumb people. You may like it too, as a very discerning smart person.
Oh,
but I had a problem with Transformers because I couldn't even tell like what was going on.
Yeah, that was my main problem with the Transformers. I'm okay. I'm all for a mindless big robots beating
things
up each other.
Blowing up, yeah.
Thing. But I want to be able to tell which robot
what's
is
happening.
Which.
Right, exactly. Right. Right. With the recognizable people in the Avengers, you kind of got the idea like, oh, he's over here. Like, I always knew what I was seeing. And in Transformers, I was like, what is. Oh, that's another bunch of metal blocks, and it's sort of a robot, and.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they didn't really look like the Transformers
Megan Fox. The only thing I remember about the first Transformers movie is Megan Fox.
She was not a Transformer.
She was not. No. She was like a mechanic or something.
I don't remember what she was.
Well, she was bent over a car at some point.
She was. So, and mechanics do that. So
that's really all I can remember from that movie, honestly. Is that
what was the last the guy's Whitnicky? Was that his character's last name?
Something like that.
And of course, Transformers 2, or has there been a third one?
Dark of the Moon.
Parts of one of them were filmed on Penn's campus. Where
I
work,
there you go.
So
you got to support the local.
Gotta, yeah, I guess I don't know.
Yeah.
Apparently they blow up a building or something. Yeah. So
it's fine. People, you know, for me, it's like there's the summer entertainment factor, and then can you give me something a little bit more on top of it? And it doesn't necessarily, not every movie needs to be dark and deep to be fun and smart. And mm-hmm. I mean, this is, people were horrified when I said I enjoyed Iron Man more than The Dark Knight Returns. Because, you know, Dark Knight Returns is the greatest movie ever, and Iron Man is just this kind of fun early summer kind of blockbuster. It's just getting in the way of Batman. It's like, you know, they're very different in tone, and one of them was way more ambitious. But I think the Iron Man was actually more successful than the Dark Knight. But I've beaten up the Dark Knight enough on this podcast that I'm looking forward to the new Jonathan Nolan Batman movie, and Christopher Nolan Batman movie, and maybe it'll be good.
So you can beat up on that one.
No, I'll be too busy beating up on Feed. Or Deadline.
Deadline, or yes.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Bloggers in the future with zombies.
That's right.
Woo! Okay.
What could go wrong?
All right. Thank you, Scott. And thank you all the all 8 listeners there on the podcast stream. And I'm going to turn off the live 5x5 stream now. Thanks for listening. This podcast will not be posted for more than a week. So you guys are so far ahead of things. You're awesome. And everybody who didn't listen and has to wait for the podcast is going to be sad. So thank you, and good night to 5x5.